Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian protesters clashing on the campus of UCLA overnight, while at Columbia University, the occupation of a building is now over.
Officers in riot gear taking back a building occupied by Israel-Hamas war protesters. Using an emergency vehicle equipped with a ramp mounted to its roof to gain access to the second-story window. Some entering with guns drawn. Dozens of people were led away, hands tied behind their backs with zip ties, and loaded onto a police bus.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert says there were more than 100 arrests. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has been meeting with Israeli leaders in his push for a ceasefire deal, saying in Tel Aviv the time is now for an agreement to bring home more hostages and bring a pause to 7 months of war in Gaza. Donald Trump using a one-day break from his hush money trial in New York to hold rallies in Wisconsin and Michigan. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Florida as that state's six-week abortion ban takes effect. This is ABC News. Financial aid decisions are delaying what's normally National College Decision Day.
The government's new FAFSA form intended to simplify the process of applying for financial aid for college. Instead, its rollout has been roiled with glitches and delays.
Students are in a jam.
Nick Anderson of the American Council on Education says more than 200 colleges and universities have had to postpone their commitment deadlines.
Students aren't able to make strong and informed decisions if they don't have the financial aid information in front of them.
The education department is now urging families to fill out the FAFSA. Completed forms are down 29% from last year. Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
And a Major League Baseball game saved by a pest control guy.
Matt Hilton, 37-year-old, father of four, movie star, good looks, now a superstar.
The call on Spectrum Sportsnet after Hilton got rid of a swarm of bees that delayed the start of the Diamondbacks-Dodgers game. He then threw out the first pitch. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-Lakepoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
So you get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks. You find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Consumer groups accuse big grocery retailers of price gouging. Angela Hoffman is the president of the group Farm Action.
It's one thing to raise your prices to cover higher expenses, but what these companies did is use the pandemic as an excuse to exploit the American people who needed to put food on their tables. And the FTC report shows that they're still doing it.
That report finds retailer profits rose 7% in 2023 compared to 5.6% in 2015. Wisconsin's annual Pothole Patrol is underway. Governor Evers was in Menominee Monday to launch a new round of pothole filling. As usual, the governor used the occasion to remind drivers to slow down for road crews as roadwork season ramps up again. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks are staying alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A gutsy performance as the Bucks, with their backs to the wall, defeated the Pacers 115-92. Chris Middleton, playing on a sprained right ankle, had 29 points. But when he got into foul trouble, Malik Beasley stepped up, scoring 18 points in the second half. Doc Rivers.
You know, it's funny. I think Rex said it. We need just somebody else tonight to make some shots. And tonight was Malik's night, and it was huge for us.
Game 6, 5:30 tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Pacers lead the series
3-2. Baseball, Freddy Peralta beamed a show-off Rays batter, and both he and manager Pat Murphy were ejected. Later, Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe had words with the same player, Jose Siri, then punched him on the jaw, and both benches cleared. The Brewers held on to win 8-2 over Tampa. So what happened?
I'm better off not saying anything because I need to think through it and talk through it and see what really happened and get all the facts before I represent the Brewers by making any comments or anything like that.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny with clouds gradually increasing by later this afternoon. A bit breezy too today with a high of 71. The wind west gusting to 30 this morning, backing off to about 5 to 15 by late afternoon. Tonight partly cloudy with clouds increasing and showers after midnight, 49 tomorrow. Thunderstorms, heavy rain with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates, Donald Trump, and Waukesha. Crudy will be there. He'll bring you the MAGA on the street. Everything you need to know. Devil's Advocates. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Good morning.
The Mad Pad, WMDX. We're hoping to have a very good morning so far. Interesting story about universities, how they all began, the start of it, and why they're called universities in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an interesting story.
Yeah. It's going to be a beautiful day, by the way. We're live at Short Stack Eatery here for another hour, and it's sunny out there. Great looking day. Temperatures for the first day of May in the low 60s all day long.
The hosts of Busted Pencils have just walked in, and we're going to have them sit down in front of the microphones, and we got a few topics to talk about.
Yeah, they're getting their orders ready. Yep. They've actually, I think they've ordered some food.
In the meantime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have Zenon, who has joined us.
Hi there.
14 years old,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
On his way to school this morning, he thought he'd stop by. Why not, right?
Yeah.
So how is the school announcements going?
Great.
Any problems, any technical problems you might have run across?
No. Well, we've been having internet issues lately, and our PA system is through the phones. So sometimes when the internet is down, I'll have to postpone announcements, which is a shame.
Oh, no.
All preparation, and then all of a sudden you just have to kind of can it and then save all the stuff to the next day, right?
Well, I usually get to go on because we have a 30-minute homeroom period in the morning. So
okay.
Yeah.
How long are the announcements? What do you got, like 2 minutes worth of stuff?
No, I go for about as little as 30 seconds, as much as 2 minutes.
Oh, really? Wow. Are you paid by the word?
No.
There's no pay involved?
There's
it's all
no
voluntary?
Wait a minute. That's child
labor.
We got
to talk to your union. There's some issues there we got to work
on. I do believe it is a volunteer position.
What is school year is coming to an end,
it
right?
is.
Are you doing anything for summer school, or are you just taking the summer off?
The one thing we are doing is we'll get some seventh graders. There's two girls interested in running the announcements next year, so they'll probably shadow me in the coming weeks. So definitely looking forward to that.
That's fantastic. Okay.
Does that bother you when somebody shadows you?
No,
kind of
not
checking
at all.
Things out? Okay, good. Are all your grades doing well for this semester?
Definitely. Yep.
Do you have any problems with any of the subjects? What subjects are you taking? Do you have anything that's maybe not A's and B's?
No, all A's and B's. I definitely say the hardest course would have to be social studies. My wonderful teacher, she teaches it kind of like an honors course. So it's definitely a lot more rigorous, but I do enjoy it.
All right.
Are you in the advanced classes at this point?
I took an advanced English language arts course this past quarter in quarter three, but now I'm back in grade level learning.
Right.
Excellent.
Well, I have a kid that took all the advanced courses and classes since like the third or fourth grade. he wasn't doing his homework. The teachers were complaining that he was lackadaisical, he didn't pay attention in class, and they said, well, maybe he's just bored. Maybe he needs more intense teaching, faster teaching. You know, it takes too slow sometimes in a normal class. So they had put him in advanced classes, and he took off.
Wow.
And it worked.
I'm signed up for mostly honors and AP courses next year.
Is that what they call it?
So what grade are you in now?
I'm in eighth, so I'll be a freshman in high school next year.
Wow. What high school are you going to?
West.
Oh, West. Well, good. All right. Well, you know, we hope that we'll see you over the summer, too, right? And, you know, join if you can. You know, I know you got a busy schedule coming up, right?
All right.
All right. Well, Zenon, thanks for joining us again.
Always a pleasure.
And you go ahead and have some breakfast, okay, with your dad.
Rob. We don't want to make you late for the bus.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we'll talk to you a little bit later on.
For sure.
You go ahead and have some. You're going to have some pancakes?
Yes.
All right. What's your favorite pancake here?
Chocolate chip.
Oh, there you go.
With some homemade whipped cream, maybe a little butter, a little maple syrup.
Oh, you're making me hungry now, Zenon. All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you a little bit later, or we'll see you maybe next week, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right, Tim, Johnny, come on over and join us here at the table.
Yeah.
Luckily, we haven't ordered our food yet.
Yeah. So. We usually wait till the show's over to order our food because it's hard to eat and be on the air at the same time. But
they'll just slap it down, and I'm sure it'll be good whenever.
Oh, yeah.
Grab the headphones there.
I know. We have quite the mess here of cords and wires. But
it's a little bit of an entanglement, but we'll get you going.
So how was the broadcast last night from the brewery? The Minocqua Brewery Tap Room.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really great. You know, excitement, packed house.
Yeah.
A lot of live audience interaction. So I think on that point, most people, everybody enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast. It's a good energy. I think I saw you there.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
He was there. I was preparing for the show.
Yeah.
So it happens, you know.
We had a bunch of civic media people there, and it was a really good crowd. I mean, it was really fun.
And it was mostly teachers, right, as your guests?
Yeah, I would think that was mostly
we opened it up to educators to kind of, you know, step up to the mic and, you know, share some of their sentiments, ask questions. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of a big part of Busted Pencils. We just kind of open line out to amplify teacher experiences around the country.
Yeah,
especially here in Wisconsin. So they came out and they had a good time. That's really what it's about.
How long have you guys been together doing the radio show and the podcast?
It's been 4 years. It's been 4 years. Yeah, Johnny and I hooked up right around 2019, right before the pandemic.
Okay.
I had him on as a guest. And during that experience,
I just kept showing up.
That's kind of what happened with us too. Yeah.
He became a stalker. I mean, we just had a real nice chemistry when we met for the interview, and it was right before the pandemic, and Busted Pencils was was an in studio high production podcast.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when the pandemic hit, you couldn't do that. You couldn't be in person, so. It went to, you know, truly a live show because that was the only way we could do it. And I was like, hey, John, man, that was great when you were on the podcast. You want to come and join me and do a little bit of guest hosting? And now here it is, 2024, and we finally met.
I know.
I asked you about
that. That's the craziest thing when you revealed that this is the first time you've actually met and worked together, right?
Yeah, last few days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Sunday, we met in Chicago on the flight, flew in. We both met there and then drove up over here to Madison. You know, we worked, for the last 4 years, every week together, a couple times a week, getting on the phone, prepping for whether it was a weekly podcast or just a show.
Yeah.
And then when we went 5 days a week, it was like, hey, I mean, we've just been having good chemistry ever since then. And it's sort of a COVID story, right? Like that would never have existed in a different time.
Right. Yeah.
We'd have met a bunch of places.
If it wasn't for COVID, he would have been on the podcast as a guest.
Yeah.
The podcast would have been produced, released. You know, I would have
moved
good
on.
Good podcast guests. I asked them to come back sometimes, but there was just that. It was like literally
it
the
worked.
Day after everything shut down. I was like, man, I got to go live. I'm gonna need some content, and Johnny's great.
So where are you? Each of you located during the show? Where is your home base?
So I'm right outside of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you really can't get together.
No.
Which is a little bit about Tim and my background. Like, yeah. We're both former teachers and, you know, working class, or we call it blue collar scholars because we're both professors.
Mm-hmm.
So in academia, it's just kind of like one of those industries where it just shakes everybody up and you land where you land.
Right.
Okay.
Right?
So we're all displaced in sort of this across the country. And, you know, and so we have like a network usually that we're all pretty close in education,
mm-hmm.
you know, teacher educators and researchers and things. And so, you know, I'm originally from Detroit and Tim's originally from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And then, so we have like this Midwest sort of yeah. energy that connected us.
Right.
Yeah.
So were you high school teachers
Johnny was a high school teacher. I taught second grade. I taught fifth grade. I taught seventh and eighth grade. And okay. then became a professor teaching future teachers.
I see.
And then became a dean, a leader. Oh, I guess you would say, you know, mentoring faculty who are mm-hmm. teaching teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's how I actually ended up in Madison, because I was at Penn State and the dean of the School of Education position here in Madison at Edgewood College opened up, and I applied for that job, got the job, came here, and you know,
rest is history.
But then COVID, okay, again, mm-hmm. the COVID story is that COVID again really wrecked a lot of things, and declining enrollment at the institution, mm-hmm. and we had a financial reorganization, and that's why I ended up in Ohio. Because, okay. as Johnny said, when you're working in academia, you go where the jobs are.
Right.
You know, and so I ended up in Ohio.
Talking with Tim and Johnny here. We are live at Short Stack Eatery. They are the hosts of Bus Pencils, which you can hear on Civic Media every evening, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 7.
6 to 7.
Central Time.
I do have a question. Now that you work together,
yeah.
face-to-face,
yeah.
do you find it easier, even better?
Well, we're actually breaking up and having two separate shows after that.
That's it. This is over now?
The celebrity.
We got to know each other.
I'll never be in the same room with him again after these next 2 days.
He always stands you up.
No, I mean, it's been really great. And we've even talked about it. Man, it's a different
it is
energy,
different.
And it's really... But I'll also speak to like the amount of time we spend on it was Zoom before, and then, you know, all the different platforms, but just talking on the phone through, I mean, really the thick of COVID and so much in both of our lives, that it's sort of shocking to even us that we haven't been in the same room running the show forever, because it feels similar.
Yeah, it feels like it. But, you know, on that though, when we did the first show Monday night together, face to face, person to person, in the same room, in the studio.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
It's a pretty cool studio too.
Cool studio.
It's nice.
I mean, there is something about that, you know, here right with you, the interaction, it's different. But, you know, hey, we're going to keep doing this. And hopefully, though, events like what happened at the Minocqua Brewery last night, what a great opportunity for other, you know, businesses and stuff to say, bring this down, brings a community of people together. And, you know, here's the thing. Johnny and I, we'll come to your town.
Yeah, sure.
You know, okay. I mean, because doing these remote broadcasts like you guys are doing here right now, I mean, they are very interactive. They're very connective. I mean, you think about what the mission of Civic Media, you know, to bring around democracy together. Mm-hmm. You bring democracy together by bringing people together to have conversations.
Exactly.
And you have conversations in places like Short Stack, like Minocqua Brewing Company.
Yeah.
You know, so how you do these, this is just, and we said we would love it. And
It was really good last night, because as I'm watching you guys, I know what that's like. You're in the bubble.
You're
up there on stage. Everybody's looking. Everybody's listening. But it's a different atmosphere, and it's great to connect with people one-on-one and in a group situation like that. And you guys, it was fun last night. It was really good. Really good time. We're talking with Tim and Johnny from Busted Pencils. Again, you can hear them on Civic Media each and every evening. Get the Civic Media app. You can listen to them wherever you go, all around the world. Coming up at 19 minutes past the hour, we'll continue live from Short Stack with our Busted Pencils friends. Coming up.
Rock, rock, rock and roll. Feeling is there, body and soul.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
That's true. Yeah. Exactly. Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM.
You don't have to shout.
Okay, I'm not quite sure if I can hear myself. Yep, the John and Gordy program from Short Stack Eatery. Please stop and by and just wave, say hello, take a picture or two.
Our guests this morning, host Tim, is it Slecker?
Slecker.
Okay, yep. That's what I thought, but then somebody sent it to me. Okay. Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci have joined us here from Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk is their motto. You guys do it. You kick it out of it. I mean, it's just great. It's a great show you got going.
Well, I
there's so many education issues right now.
I like the idea that Minocqua Brewery is behind trying to keep public schools alive and well and do away with vouchers, which started off in Milwaukee in the early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, so this is, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin is the birthplace of vouchers, which really, when we say we bring this on, is the move to privatize or kill public education.
Yes.
You know, so whatever you hear about somebody saying it was to help failing schools, it was to help families. No. That was the narrative that was being used to sell. The intention has always been doing away with public schools and creating a private system of education. And the reality, what we say is that, you know, if you do away with public schools, you're doing away with democracy, because democracy actually flourishes on the foundation of public schools. Public schools is your first, that's your first introduction to being a democratic citizen, to participating, getting along with each other, having conversations, learning, coming and talking about things. When you privatize public education, you're doing away with democracy. So that's when we talk, that's what's at stake, right? So you say, it was great, tons of teachers last night. But Busted Pencils, of course, if you're a teacher, we think you're going to love the show. But it's also what we say, it's for your neighbor, my neighbor, who's across the street, who likes Friday night football at their local school district, loves it, and then has no idea, though, that that might be under threat, because if their public school system is privatized, Friday night football goes away. And so we talk about it for, we want teachers and people who love education, but we want our neighbors to really understand that your community thrives when you have a thriving public school.
Now, I'm not quite sure if I have this correct, because I was paying attention in the early 90s when they were talking about vouchers. Initially, I believe it was to help troubled students and putting them in schools and trying new things with those troubled students to try to get them to improve in their academic life. And am I correct on that?
And that sounds great, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds
fantastic.
That's
part of the brilliant marketing scheme, and I'm going to really like.
And if they came up with a solution, then they would share it with the public schools. But absolutely, that is not going to happen.
Right. And I'm sure there were great people connected to that, really believing that, hey, this is an opportunity within our districts to have an alternative, sort of almost experimental, like option. There are different ways that we know schools weren't working for everybody. Right. Public school systems were failing a lot of communities, rural communities, urban communities especially. And so it's sort of like the conditions were ripe for something to happen.
Right.
And that something made sense to everyone, like, hey, let's address this. But the way it was addressed was to create an economic opportunity, really to deregulate public education, mm-hmm. to sort of turn it into a market where we can have like free market competition. We'll have sort of private, not the old kind of private schools we know, like you got a private school and you got a public school,
right.
but like options where then literally families would become the buyers and buyers get the choice of where they go and get their education. And so really it became like a real economic opportunity mm-hmm. for people whose interests weren't in the best interest of those underserved kids.
I think it also divided the community because we're talking about Milwaukee. They had inner mm-hmm. cities there. It pit black parents against all of the other parents because, of course, their schools were failing.
Right.
The students were doing really well, and they promised that this is the way to solve that problem. And then the black community got on board with the
sure.
voucher idea.
Right. Yeah. Like Johnny said, I mean, you know, the marketing around this, because a lot of public schools in Milwaukee for a lot of students were not serving those students and families well.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a failing school. It was a failing system that continued to allow those schools to exist at a position where they couldn't step up and create, you know, these great opportunities. And so in steps, the going, you shouldn't be in a failing school like that. Mm-hmm. They're taking advantage of you because you're a minority. What if we gave you the money and you went and found your own great school? Mm. Wouldn't that be better for you? And it
works. It's a manufactured market.
Right.
Instead
right.
of saying we need to it's fund these schools better, they're like, hey, this is a community we'll continue. They've been historically and currently, you know, really screwed over by schools.
Yeah.
And so in that process, they're saying like, hey, well, they're going to be really eager to take this other option. So we're going to continue to defund particular communities in their schools,
right.
keep the inequality going. And that's something we go back to that era. We really, really wish we could if we had a time machine.
Yeah.
But there were people saying this back then. You remember the argument saying,
sure,
this is a really bad mistake. We need to fix the schools. Yeah, right. We need to really address school funding.
Yeah. The solution is to take care of the schools. Yes, they're not serving communities and families and students well. You're right. Let's fix them.
Let's put the money there.
Yeah, let's put the money there.
A separate school system.
Let's recognize it. And in fact, too, students in Milwaukee at that time, low income, urban, the issue was poverty. It was not a failing school system. It was a failing societal structure.
And we'll own it. I mean, the issue was poverty. The issue was also systemic racism.
Yeah.
I mean, it was historically and
well, I'd say the poverty was a result of systemic racism.
Yeah.
You know, and so you look at that and say, it was... to put an effort into addressing systemic racism and addressing poverty, hey, that's a lot of hard work. Let's create a failed school narrative instead and then create, you know, because, hey, if we had to really take off and address racism and if we really had to address poverty, man, that's really hard work to do. And I don't, you know, and that's what happened.
Yes.
You know, because we said, when it went full tilt, right, this is the part now, so we're, what, 35 years later, better schools haven't been created.
No.
The academic achievement of students who have not been served well over those last 40 years mm-hmm. have not moved one inch
right.
in this. And so it doesn't work to make better schools. Boy, but it worked great to create a whole dismembered type of school system now where it's kind of like what Johnny, you were saying, pop-up schools just show up.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Dr. Tim Slaker and Johnny Lupinacci. Lupinacci, the two doctors from Busted Pencils.
Yeah, the other thing that happened in Milwaukee on a regular basis were a lot of these schools went out of business. They were located in empty buildings in strip malls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They weren't performing. They just lift up and go. Yep. Parents would have a weekend to find another school to send their kids to.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, that's just complete deregulation. It's textbook manufactured, you know, economy and market through free market economics. And we just know it's not a great way to do school and raise our children.
That's right.
All right, hang with us, guys. The Busted Pencils guests, Tim and Johnny, with John and Gordy, live from Short Stack Eatery. We'll continue with more on education. Coming up.
Yeah.
everybody having a bopping at the high school hop.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Another Alice in Dairyland finalist to introduce you to, and this one's had close contact with the youngest consumers. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Kylie Pagel from Kewaunee, the next finalist we'll introduce you to. That's next.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
Kylie Pagel from Kewaunee is getting ready to graduate from UWGB with a degree in business administration. Those are some skills she's already put to work at the family's business, Pagel Family Business. While there, she oversees some of the public relations. She says that's prepared her ideally to be Alice, dealing with a younger audience.
I definitely think that my heart lies in the education of agriculture and dairy and everything in between. I love the look of a person's face when the light bulb really clicks and they understand exactly what you're saying, or when I have tours of little kids that are 4 or 5 years old asking me where the chocolate milk is, because, you know, brown cows produce chocolate milk. But just getting to educate everyone is huge to me.
There you go. Some practical experience. That's Kylie Pagel from Kewaunee, another one of our Alice in Dairyland finalists. Remember, those six finalists will be on their way to Door County beginning on Friday with a pretty aggressive schedule of visits to area businesses as well as interviews with a panel of judges. Follow along at aliceindairyland.com.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
And given the changing weather dynamics we're looking at in Wisconsin, farmers are trying to go full throttle when it comes to spring planting. And that means you're likely to encounter farm equipment on the rural roadways you share with them. Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation reminding everybody to exercise caution and patience when it comes to sharing of the road. They say make smart decisions and follow safe, smart driving practices. Be alert, watch out, leave space, and don't assume anything. That's courtesy of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. And that's a food news update for you on a Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny with clouds gradually increasing by later this afternoon. A bit breezy, too, today with a high of 71. The wind west gusting to 30 this morning, backing off to about 5 to 15 by late afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with clouds increasing and showers after midnight, 49. Tomorrow, thunderstorms, heavy rain with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
Small business owners, we know finishing your to-do list can feel like climbing a mountain, but that mountain is also covered in banana peels. Then, when something new gets added to your list, you're like, nope, I'm already climbing this huge, super slippery banana peel mountain of a to-do list. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to manage your policy on our mobile app, so climbing that banana peel mountain feels more like a leisurely stroll. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Earl Ingram.
Wednesday at 8, I'll be joined by Roger Quindell and Mark Berman. Then at 9, I'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Matt Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM on your radio dial, but you can also get us on the Civic Media app. Text us there and give us a call. And speaking of calls, we do have a couple of calls.
Yeah, we do.
Guests from Busted Pencils.
Yes, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny from Busted Pencils are with us. Let's go to our first caller on the line. You're with us here with John and Gordy and Tim and Johnny. Go ahead. Good morning. Do we have our caller there?
Hello, good morning.
All right.
Are you talking to me?
Go ahead.
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, good morning. This is Susan. I was calling because I am listening to the four of my favorite guys this morning. And I want to say that Gordy and Johnny do a great job in the morning, but I listen to Tim and I listen to Busted Pencils every night, and I get so much information that I can share with people when I'm having conversations about the educational system and plights and pluses of what's going on. So it's been very, very enlightening for me, and we actually had a conversation with my sisters last night at dinner about AI, because I listened to that segment about AI. So you guys are doing such a wonderful job, and I'm hoping that sometime I can be in the same room with you to talk with you directly.
Well,
it was just awesome.
That's a good point, because you are going to be here once a month. Is that correct?
Well, so the once a month right now is actually, it was in person once a month.
Yes.
We did that first. It's going to be remote now once a month from Minocqua Brewing, though.
Okay.
We won't be coming in. But, you know, we wouldn't mind coming back in way often.
Yeah,
but the caller, thank you so much.
Yeah,
too.
Thanks
really
for listening.
Appreciate that. Yeah, what a great, you know, we think we're bringing information that people find, you know, it not just interesting, but informative, to the point that she's saying she's sharing it with other people to help my neighbor understand what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the goal, just having those conversations that spark other conversations. So thank you for listening and for calling in.
Yeah, and if you can check out the podcast on AI, I found that to be one of the most interesting programs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a great program. Thanks for calling.
I think we have another caller on the line. Let's go ahead with that second caller. Good morning.
Hey.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm curious. My understanding of Germany's methodology of teaching is as the kids progress through the classes and start approaching their graduation, they're assessed on their strengths and weaknesses. And my understanding is they divert one group based on their skill sets to go focus on the trades versus those who focus on the sciences and the more higher level thinking things. And I'm just wondering, is there anything within the public education system where we could start looking at this? Because I have several friends in the trades, and you said they're dying out there. There's no knowledge.
It's
to use
really good
trades.
Point.
No. It is a great point. And in fact, I think you're hearing this now in America to address this. You hear workforce development, and recognizing that students in our public schools, you know, we need to have the ability for students to recognize that, you know, maybe a trade option is in their future. Now, what he's talking about in Germany does have what is called, you know, what's called a track system.
Okay.
And they do, and they base a lot on test scores. Based on the test scores that you're getting, they start moving you into whether it's a vocational track, whether it's on, and they like it, and it does well. I've worked with some for German teachers. We had an exchange program where students who were studying to be teachers in Germany come over to America, and they talked about it, and they like it, but then they also like what we do in America here, which is allow students, regardless of test scores, to potentially look at, maybe I might want to go to college. But what the caller's talking about, though, should we make visible other options other than academic rigor to go on to a four-year college. We actually do, and we need to do a much better job at that, because students should have lots of successful opportunities in front of them to really find what they're great at.
When we talk a lot about this, is the importance of, you know, liberating education from schooling. And schooling's done a really good job of sorting people out in this country and around the world. It's a way of doing school where it says, like, some people are smart and other people aren't smart. And if you're not smart, you go into these other things. Mm. And that's just simply not true in real life.
Right.
And so we talk all the time about ways that our schools can be more about education and less about that schooling model that sort of places people into positions that don't really best fit them, mm-hmm. and by and large do this really great job of sorting folks out to convince a whole lot of really educated and really smart and creative people that they're not educated, and that's really not true. So we're kind of, you know, hopefully in this moment having discussions as a country, is like, these skilled trades are actually really important crafts. There really is a lot of knowledge associated with them. And can be part of school in the same way, you know, like scoring high on a math test can be.
I've always wondered about having a bachelor's. If you have that, then you can bounce off into whatever other kind of career, because you have the background, you have the education, at least, you know, that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the theory, and for the most part, it is okay. But, you know, does the bachelor's degree, though, as we see, is it potentially limiting because you still, you know, you haven't developed a vocational skill set, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the idea. And the sense of tuning, like Johnny's saying, it's like we need to also start thinking about education, because if you start thinking about education, it's continuous.
Yes.
It doesn't end at a bachelor's degree, at a master's degree, at a skilled trade license. Mm-hmm. It's all available to you. And so we've also, and that's, I think, a legacy of our system. It's kind of like you get there and you're done. And boy, that's really not education. Education is lifelong.
But isn't it changing now because of technology, and you're going to have prerequisites in order to understand some of the technology if you want to get into that profession, from a more laborious profession to a more tech profession?
Well, we're always going to need the labor. That's the thing, even with all the tech. And so,
still need electricians.
Still need a plumber. Long as you're going to the bathroom, as long as you're turning on your sink. I mean, there's
think about electronic toilets workers. Now. I mean, you know, you have to be able to program the toilets.
Yeah. So there is a change in the technology. One of the things, too, you know, that comes up with this is schools have to also stay updated.
Yeah.
Right? Like, in a lot of the tech world, you'll talk to young people, they're far ahead of where their courses are. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. the speed at which young people come into their careers or into their training, already really good at something. Like, video game programming is a great example. Some mm-hmm. of the things they played as kids trained them better than the college right. courses. So there's like a little bit of lag in education in terms of how do we, you know, meet young people where they are and right. then see the industry change.
We're talking with Tim and Johnny from Busted Pencils, a civic media program. You can listen to them every evening, Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock. Just get the Civic Media app and go to Busted Pencils, and you can listen to the show. Sam, do we have another caller on the line? I think we may.
No, we don't. That was our second caller.
Okay. Sorry. I'll tell you what. Jorge, can you jump in here for just a second? We got to take care of a little business. This is a thing that we do every week, because Jorge, he can briefly tell us what do we have this week. We have a winner, right?
Did I win anything?
You didn't win anything. Okay. You never win anything in this raffle.
No.
You're not eligible.
Sorry.
We extended the raffle. We're doing a survey of students of students' media consumption habits, and since the students are still in session for another 2 weeks, we extended it. And today's winner is another sophomore. Her name is Sophia. And we have she gets a $25 gift card for this here short stack eatery.
Hey.
I'm a pancake.
All right, great. Thank you, guys.
All right, Jorge.
Thank you very much.
So you had Jorge to expose Rainer. Our guest to that.
Yeah. It's a great gift certificate.
Well, Sophia won a gift certificate to a great place. So.
Excellent, yes. Very good. All right, continuing here with Tim and Johnny from Busted Pencils. Again, thanks, Jorge. He stops in every Wednesday just to make that special announcement. I want to ask you guys, do you still teach? Or you do the show.
Are you still like substitute teaching, or do you have regular teaching assignments that you
When you say teaching, you know, I mean, teaching at college, teaching future teachers.
Okay.
You know, so teaching coursework. One of the things that, you know, when I am teaching, I'm preparing future teachers how to teach social studies in the elementary grades. So in other words, if you're going to be a fourth grade teacher, how do you teach American history? I teach students in that class. I haven't, you know, working with K-12 students in that, you know, that's not in the realm of teaching that I'm doing anymore. Can I substitute? And one of the things I'm actually exploring. When I get back to Ohio tomorrow, I'm going to spend the whole day in a middle school working with students and teachers and looking at the opportunities there to kind of see and say, like, I need to get back there. So that's a great question that says, I should be, and in fact, I am going to go look so I can get my feet back in regular public education classrooms.
See what's going on.
Yeah.
Same with you, John?
Same. I mean, I'm a professor of education at Washington State University, and I teach teachers, so young people who are about to become teachers. So I teach graduate students, the whole thing like studying education. But the whole thing, I was formerly a teacher, so most of us that teach teachers, we've taught. And that's kind of an important camaraderie and solidarity in the trade. And I'll say that, like, we talk about being blue-collar scholars.
Right.
We write books, we do research. But one of the things we're committed to is amplifying the voice and the experience of teachers, because we live behind that veil of you're kind of vilified.
Right.
And, you know, like, everybody hates teachers, but then
at this point,
we need teachers. Everybody loves teachers, too.
It's like you love them, but then the common discourse is like teachers are failing our country. And so when we're with teachers all the time, so we're in schools, and that's kind of how we just like really fell into this show, being sort of a way to amplify the experience, the kinds of conversations that teachers are having in schools. But also, we joke about this, we're kind of like click and clack of the education world. So like car talk for education folks.
Exactly. I love those guys.
Yeah, because we actually know a lot of, like, it's our job to be researchers on the kinds of topics that we're talking about.
Right.
But there was a gap. Like, how can we sit down and talk about it like we are right now at the Short Stack? Right? Where anyone coming in to get a stack of pancakes and a coffee can sit down and have that sort of good conversation around, so what's happening in schools? What can we do differently to strengthen our community, you know, to shift and turn the tide of how we think about and talk about teachers and what's happening in our schools?
Well, the wave now is to give parents more control over their education. And I think it's another divisive issue. It's just like vouchers. It's another way to throw a wrench in the system and make it more complicated for teachers to respond to students, basically, and take orders from parents specifically that affects all the students, not just the child that they're trying to help.
It's another false narrative, though, too, to say, you know, we're going to now give parents more opportunity to be involved. They never had it removed.
Right, okay. Exactly.
It's always been, as a parent, your child and the education of your child has always been under your control. So this idea of we're restoring parents' rights, you hear this from, you know, Moms for Liberty. Nonsense. You're not restoring parents' rights. What you're doing is coming in and saying, I don't want other families and other children learning the things that I'm against. And like, no, that's not parental. You have no right to tell me what my kids can and can't learn. You have an opportunity as a parent to guide the education of your child. You don't have any right to derail the education system. Nonsense.
Right. Right. And it's a social thing too.
Yeah.
You know, these kids go to these schools, they learn things that they normally wouldn't learn at home. And I think the parents are starting to think, well, maybe that's not good. Maybe I should have even more control over what they do in the schools. I always call it kind of a lazy parent, because apparently they haven't tried to have a conference with their teachers. They haven't tried to help their student individually and go in and talk to the teachers about what they can do to help their kid.
Well, it's really important.
And a lot of them have two parents that are both working. Right.
And there's configurations of who
it's
we...
It's different now.
We talk about it as we're teaching teachers about this all the time. One of the number one questions young people becoming teachers will ask is like, hey, can you teach me about how to communicate with parents? And, you know, one of the things we say is families come in all different kinds of configurations.
Yes.
You know, I think we're going to go to break, but we can keep talking about this when we come back. I hear the music, and this is some good jams. This is some good jams, and this is some great coffee.
We are jamming with the Busted Pencils guys, Tim and Johnny, along with John and Gordy, live from Short Stack Eatery.
Hey,
stay with us.
See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A farmer from just outside of Madison found something unusual while picking rocks from his field in preparation for spring planting. A meteorite. Yes, Jim Koch found a 110-pound meteorite. UW scientists confirm it is indeed a meteorite made of iron and nickel, and it may have been created in the solar system more than 4 billion, with a B, 4 billion years ago. This is the only meteorite ever discovered in Dane County, though 13 others have been found in other parts of the state. This particular one is now on display at the UW Geology Museum on West Dayton Street in Madison. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
What a wonderful,
wonderful
world. Wonderful, wonderful.
Mad Radio, WMDX. Hope you're having an interesting morning this morning, listening to us. I mean, we're talking education this morning.
Yeah, we are.
One of my favorite subjects, and we have the hosts of Busted Pencils.
Dr. Tim Slager and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. I got it right this time.
Lupinacci,
come on, let's go. All right, let's talk about AI in public education, or in any education. Mm-hmm. How is it affecting the education system already? Or what do you guys look toward the future with
this?
This
guy loves AI.
How's this going to help us?
We fight about this all the time.
What do we got to know?
It's advancing, isn't it?
It's advancing. So here's the quote, and I forget who this is attributed to. It ain't going to uninvent itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
The genie's out of the bottle.
It's right there. It is always going to now be, ubiquitous. Okay. It is there. A lot of people's first introduction to the AI concept in schools are, oh my God, students are using it to cheat. You know, because it will write the B plus five paragraph essay, five sentence, you know, go home and summarize this book you read, and it will do that. That's really not the issue here, because guess what? Every student in every generation had some ability to figure out how to game the system.
Exactly.
You know, okay. Yes. What artificial intelligence, if you're only looking at it that way, you're not recognizing the possibilities of saying, here is a potential with lots and lots of ways of caveats of going, but we need to be here, but it's got the potential to be an incredibly powerful tool to be used alongside in education to potentially help create opportunities to fill in gaps where you might not be able to get the information, using AI as a co-intelligence. And I see exciting futures in the ability of saying, how will the world work when you have an AI in your pocket? And if you're an educator, you need to then be thinking about, your students are going to be coming in front of you with artificial intelligence. How are we using it? When should we use it? When should we absolutely not even come close to thinking about using it? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, so the idea of what I hear now is kind of very simple. We just don't do it. Students aren't allowed to do it. Okay, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things growing up. I did them all. Okay. So make when you say I'm not allowed to do something, here's the other thing. You're inviting people to do it. So, right. So artificial intelligence is here. Johnny and I joke, it's like I'm the for artificial, he's the anti. It's not that. We're both, though, looking at it and saying...
We're actually scheduling a boxing match.
He reminds people to the skepticism needed to look at it, to recognize what it can't do.
He's having AI train him for the fight, and I'm going with an old school Rocky's.
Rock'em sock'em robots.
No, but one of the things...
The AI is like the old Cliff Notes book people used to use.
Cliff Notes.
Except, here's the thing, we called it Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
AI is a marketing, like it's a slogan. Mm. Okay. Right? Because it's not really intelligent. It's just like telling, like Cliff Notes, it's telling you the note version of maybe a book. But there's this, like, there's this twist when AI becomes sort of like a brand. It's a tool, it's an extra. And we didn't call a calculator a thinking box, right? Like it's not because it calculated things, like it punched it in. So AI has this little bit of a language twist and a possibility, like machine learning. Right, is part of this, and so there's this idea that it's going to do thinking for us.
Right,
but it's really other people's ideas in it. I think it's an incredibly powerful tool, but I love this analogy. As technology has come along and advanced or changed or added to any craft, whether it's like making music or like the sound production we're doing today, like there's a value added. It's a new tool. This is a powerful new tool that's got to be taught. It's going to be part of classrooms. It's going to be part of our workplaces.
Exactly.
And so we have to teach it. But also reminding, like for our teachers out there, it's not replacing you, right? It's gonna weed out really bad people at their profession. Like it's not gonna replace needing journalists,
right? Mm-hmm.
But it's gonna help. And this is one of the things I get excited about. I talk to so many young people who go into journalism. They have a passion for like communicating and writing, and they love what they do. Yeah. They get out into industry, and they're you know, we all have heard about the stories of cutting our teeth, but they're spending a long time writing what they tell me is meaningless content. Mm. And they're excited about AI being there because, look, AI can do that.
AI is great at writing meaningless content.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really good.
It's a shortcut. Yeah.
And so they can use it as a tool and do what they like, right? Mm-hmm. And do so, like the drum machine, we had a guest come on and say, like the drum machine, like threatened drummers. Oh, no, there's not going to be drummers anymore. Right. It's like, no, there's still drummers. You just got to be a really good drummer.
Right.
Right.
Well, so, Tim, you brought up something when we were talking about this off the air. You brought up the fact that when people use AI and they come up with a lot of answers and there's a lot of, you know, information in front of you, these individuals, and I think this is part of teaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you talk to these individuals, look at that information, and then research the information that AI has found for you.
Yeah, that, you know, and so there's an opportunity with this because we know that what AI does is, it's not intelligent, it's not thinking, it is an algorithm, it's a prediction word generator, and it never says, I don't know. And now knowing that it never says, I don't know, is the possibility. And we may all have friends like this who goes, you know, they always have an answer. They don't know what the heck they're talking about, but they always have an answer. Mm-hmm. AI sometimes, when it doesn't know, it makes stuff up.
Well, talk about the Abraham Lincoln thing.
So the Abraham Lincoln, you know, so students can go in and say, you know, I want you to take on the role of Abraham Lincoln because I want to interview you for my, you know, for my eighth grade project.
Right.
And they're going through it, and then the next thing you know, AI comes up and, you know, well, when you were the vampire, and the kid turns in a page and says, what do you mean? Well, because there's a book out there that trained AI that put Abraham Lincoln in the vampire slayer. And so guess what, though? I see that as before you turn that in, you need to then go over that type of checking to see if the facts are true or not.
Exactly.
And that's good education, is to do that.
Yes.
You're learning to research and realize that sometimes information that's put in front of you, we need to verify.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, it's been great to visit with you. Absolutely. Where's your next stop? Where are you headed? Is this it?
Yeah,
we're at Madison.
We're back
for the Madison visit. This is it. We're gonna have breakfast. We're gonna hang for a little bit, and then we're headed back home via Chicago.
Okay.
So we'll head out to Chicago today, and then fly out this afternoon. Yeah.
And then I think what's happening tonight on Busted Pencils, because we're going to be traveling, it's gonna be a little bit. Yeah. They're putting together the last 2 days, like a best of real. So yeah, when you check out Busted Pencils tonight, it'll be cool stuff.
Excellent. Thank you guys for being with us.
Yep. Yeah.
That's going to do it for John and Gordy, along with Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencil guys from Short Stack Eatery. We hope you have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Stephanie Miller's next.
Gordy Show.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 11:33, public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. You can always email your question to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.